Dear brothers and sisters, and all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the fifth lecture on Genesis. I explained that there are two kinds of spiritual beings that God commands. They are angels and the cherubim. In the last three lectures, I explained about the angels. From this lecture, I will tell you about the cherubim. Angels are similar to human beings in the shape, except the fact that they have wings. Cherubim, however, are not human-like beings, but are more animal-like in form, and there are many different kinds of cherubim. Angels and the cherubim are completely different beings. If a cherubim were just another kind of angel, the Bible wouldn't mention them separately. The cherubim that are introduced in the Bible are greatly different from the angels in their appearance. Now, why did God create the cherubim to be different beings from that of the angels? Even though both the cherubim and the angels are spiritual beings that God commands, the duties of each are different. Cherubim are mainly in charge of the escorting and the guarding, while angels perform the various tasks. There are ranks and orders in the cherubim world as well. Cherubim in higher ranks escort God, the Trinity. Escort means to follow, protect, and guard by one's side. Since the cherubim are escorting God are found in many parts of the Bible. Psalm chapter 99, 1 says, "The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake." 2 Kings chapter 19, 15 says, "The Lord, O God of Israel, who art enthroned above the cherubim, thou art the God, thou alone of all kingdom of earth. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth." And the Psalm chapter 18, 10 says that God rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. Likewise, there are cherubim that stand near the throne of God to guard him. In the last lecture, I told you that I would explain the reason why the archangel Lucifer was called the anointed cherub who covers in Ezekiel chapter 28, 14. Just like a cherubim that stand near the throne of God to escort him, Lucifer was also near God all the time. Since Lucifer also played the role of the cherubim like this, Ezekiel called Lucifer the anointed, the cherub. In addition, there are records about cherubim as a guard. Here, to guard refers to the activity of observing the surroundings to prevent an enemy's surprise attack or unexpected invasion. Genesis chapter 3, 24 says, "So he drove the men out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way of the tree of life." Now, so God drove the man out. Who is that man? He drove out Adam and Eve, and the east side of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Why does God have a cherubim protected, since there's a reason to protect it? You know where paradise is and where Eden is. Eden is the second heaven, and the evil spirits who hold the power of the air are also in the second heaven. And the cherubim are guarding Eden and their border to the east.
동적과 경계를 이루고 있으니까 이 동적을 지키게 하셨다 이 말입니다. 왜? 생명나무.
Because evil spirits can eat the tree of life and live eternally, the east of Eden is guarded to prevent them from entering. Before that, Adam guarded this place, but he was kicked out because of his disobedience. So God made a cherubim and a flaming sword guard this place. So the Garden of Eden still exists. And the flaming sword is a fire of the Holy Spirit. And if something is tortured by the fire of the Holy Spirit, it will burn up. If the enemy devil is touched, it will be burned up. It's not about dying. They lose their abilities and everything. That's why the flaming sword and the cherubims are guarding it. They are perfectly protecting the tree of life. After God the Father drove Adam and Eve out of the Eden and the cherubim guarded the east of the Garden of the Eden. To be more specific, God had them guard the tree of life that once anyone eat, then he can live forever. Even if you eat the fruit from the tree of life and live forever, you can still die. What will you die from it you eat? If you eat the fruit from the tree of good and evil like Adam and Eve did, now, from what do the cherubim protect the tree of life? They do from the evil spirits that are in the second heaven. There is the Garden of Eden in the second heaven, but also an area where the evil spirits dwell. After Lucifer's rebellion, she and the evil spirits stay and work in the second heaven during the period of the human cultivation. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "You formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the son of the disobedience." Student and you others who follow the costumes of this world, those who love this world, as it said in the Bible, follow the costumes of this world and follow the prince of the power of the air. That is the enemy, the devil and the Satan, who holds the power of the air, is in control over you. It's a fact. Evil spirits, the enemy devil, control people's thought and make them love the world so people badmouth, sin, judge, and condemn. It continually says of the spirit that is now working in the son of the disobedience. In this verse, the air refers to the second heaven and that there's an area there where the evil spirits are the residents. God the Father has the cherubim guard the way to the tree of life so that the evil spirits cannot come close to it. Of course, the heavenly armies such as Michael and other heavenly hosts also manage the job of the watching and the guarding. However, their guarding is different from the guarding of the cherubim. The fact itself that the cherubim are guarding a specific area prevents the evil spirits from even looking over at it. For example, a house that is kept by the fierce and the ferocious dog is somewhat different from the house that is watched by the doorkeeper. Since the main job of the cherubim is the escort and the guard, they also have a proper dignity and authority. Then why did God create the various cherubim, not just one kind? Just as there are many different kinds of animals in this world, also many different kinds of cherubim. It indicates how capable of God the Father is creating so many creatures. It shows that the creativity of a God is unlimited. There's no limit and it is endless. In other words, the existence of the cherubim shows that the power and the dignity of a God the Father is so huge and great. Moreover, cherubim are symbols of God the Father's glory and dignity. For instance, there were parents that symbolized the kings. The parent that was printed on the document or clothes revealed the authority and the dignity of the king. Likewise, the existence of the cherubim of itself exemplifies God's dignity and authority. Earlier, I said that there are ranks among the cherubim, and that those in higher ranks provide escort to the throne of God all the time. These cherubims of these high ranks have such a great dignity and authority. Therefore, the existence of these escorting cherubims demonstrates the glory and the dignity of God all the more greatly. For example, when a king went on the trip, the line of the people who escort and the guards the kings was very long. The chariot carrying the king was also large and magnificent, and even among the soldiers escorting, the king looks powerful. However, imagine a sense of the king was alone riding a horse. It probably looks shabby, right? Likewise, the dignity and the glory of kings can be sensed differently when the king is escorted and when he's not. By the way, in the old days, the size of the escort was also different according to the person who was escorted. The authority of the emperor was different from that of the king. Among princes, the authority of a crown prince was different from that of the other princes. Also, the size of a guardian of the different among the emperors. The number of escorting soldiers as well as their ranks was different. When there were king and the prince, the soldier of a higher ranks escorted the king. According to the rank of soldiers, exact they scored was also different. By the same token, the word of the cherubim also has a different ranks according to their authority and the dignity. Moreover, the order among the cherubim is stricter, since their main job is to escort and to guard. Therefore, once an order is given, they execute the orders strictly and explicitly like robots. It's somewhat different from that of the angels and how cherubims obey given orders. For example, when trained dogs obey their masters, an order is given right away. When a master throws something and tells his dog to get it, the dog bursts to get it like a bullet out of the gun. However, say the master gives the order to his servant, of course the servant will obey the master, but it's somewhat different from the dog's obedience. This is a difference between angels and the cherubim. Here, the action of a dog is to the cherubim as that of the servants would be to angels. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, God is sitting above the cherubim, and when He moves, the cherubim also move together to escort Him. Simply speaking, there are always a cherubim near God. And so God established the figures of a cherubim so are their parents to be put into the tabernacles and the holy temple. God comes upon these places and the tabernacles and the holy temple. God set the figures of a two cherubim to be hammered at the two ends of the Ark of the Covenant. Exodus chapter 25:18-22 says, "And you shall make it two cherubim of gold, make them of the hammer of the work at the two ends of the mercy seat, and make one cherub at one end and one cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim about one piece of wither mercy seed at its two ends. And the cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seed with their wings and facing one another. The faces of the cherubim are to be turned toward the mercy seat, and you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give you to you, and there I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are up on the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about that I will give you the commandment for the soul, sons of Israel. The mercy seat is the space that is covered by the wings of the two cherubims that faced each other. This mercy seat was the place where God came and made His presence. God had the parents of the cherubim craved not only on the mercy seat but also many parts of the tabernacles. Exodus chapter 26:1 says, "Moreover, you shall make the tabernacles with the 10 curtains of the fine twisted linen, and the blue and the purple and the scarlet materials. You shall make them with the cherubim, the work of the skillful workman." When King Solomon constructed the holy temple, he placed the cherubim in the inner house where the ark was placed. On the olive wood, and the figures of the cherubim were carved. 1 Kings chapter 6, 27 says, "And he placed the cherubim in the midst of the inner house, and the wings of the cherubim were spread out, so that the wing of the one was touching the wall, and the wings of the other cherubs was touching the other wall. So their wings were touching each other in the center of the house. He also carved the cherubim on the wall and the doors of the inner house and the outer house of the holy temple. Likewise, the carving and the pattern of the cherubim also exists in the holy temple and the tabernacles where God dwelt. It's to show that the cherubim are always with God in the spiritual realm." Dear brothers and sisters, let me introduce some of the most prominent cherubim. Among the cherubim, the dragons and the four living creatures are of the highest of the ranks. They were in the leading position among the cherubim, and they stayed the closest to God the Father. However, their roles and duties were a little bit different. Let me tell you about the dragons first. In this world, the dragon is known as one of the imaginary animals. However, dragon is not an imaginary animal, but an actual being that is alive in the spiritual world. The people of the world said the dragon is like a huge snake covered with scales. It has four legs with the antlers of the deer and the ears of a cow. However, the appearance of the dragon that God created in the beginning was so beautiful and lovely. To God the Father, the dragon was like a pet that received the love of its master. When I was praying in 1983, God told me about the dragons. First, there was a vision. God the Father was sitting on His throne. At that time, His face was vaguely visible, and I couldn't look at Him straight. His beautiful dress was spread underneath Him, and His feet were covered by the smoke that was like a smoke from the dry eyes. Father God was sitting on the throne, and the bottom of His robe was spread out, and it looked like it had been covered with dry ice. However, the smoke was shining much more brightly than that of the dry ice. By the way, the four dragons encircled this throne of God, and they were shining with many different colors of lights. God the Father was leaning on the throne and caressing the feathers of the dragons. The people of the world said the dragons are covered with scales, but they originally had very soft feathers. Just as the jewels reflect the lights as they hit them, each and every feather shone, many different colors of the dazzling lights. The beauty of a dragon was beyond of the description. Such a dragon encircling the throne of a God were like adornments that brought out of the glory and the beauty of the God the Father all the more greatly. In addition, dragons were a leading position among the cherubim, and thus their dignity and the power were so great. And there were many servants that were under the command of the dragons. The servant of the dragons had various shapes like that of the animals, and they were very beautiful. However, dragons were deceived by the craftiness of Lucifer and came to stand against God. In other words, when a rebellion occurs, the traitor bribes the king's associates. This is because the work can be accomplished by the bribing the king's entourage in power and getting their help. I will eventually tell you how Lucifer deceived the dragons. If you know this process, you will understand when people who had a good faith fall into delusions. How could the dragons who were loved by God fall for Lucifer's trick? Why do people fall into delusions when they clearly know that the action is a sin and the path to hell? Because they still remain so selfish and greedy, they fell into the deception. Therefore, there should be no such evil nature in your heart. The dragons that stood against God were cursed, and their appearance became the terrible and the ugly. Those beautiful dragons have lost their former appearances and have now become hideous and scary. The dragon's servants also stood against God, and thus they were also cursed and came to have ugly appearances. So they are described as a beast in the book of the Revelation. They were animal-shaped before, not angel-shaped. They ended up becoming ugly animal appearances as they are. As Lucifer's servants and the dragons and their servants became the part of the world of the evil spirit, Lucifer became their head, the dragons became the next power to help Lucifer, and the dragon's servant became an evil spirit. They hindered the kingdom of God during the period of human cultivation. These are the evil spirits who hold the power of the air in the Bible. There are countless cherubims under Lucifer, and even today, they are hindering you from going to the heaven and preventing you from achieving the kingdom of God. If you are not awake, they will roam around and devour you. In Revelation chapter 12, 7-9, there are sins that dragons and his dark angels fight against the army of archangels Michael. It says, there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragons. There's now a war between the heavenly army led by Michael, the commander, and the dark forces led by dragons. In the latter part of the verse, it said, the dragons and their angels fought, but they are defeated. They found no more place for them in heaven. In the end, the spirit of evil are defeated. So the book of Revelation explained that they are kicked out of the heaven and come down to the earth during the seven-year tribulation. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, who has deceived the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with it. As he says, they will be driven out to the first heaven, the earth. You just have to remember that God the Father was fond of the four dragons and loved them so much. How would we have known this scene of the spiritual battle between the heavenly armies and the evil spirits in the book of the Revelation if God the Father had not deciphered them? I can preach like this because God unraveled them. Now, I'm introducing the four living creatures that are also in leading position. The Bible mentions about them in quite a detail, especially in Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10, and the Revelation described the appearance of the four living creatures in detail. The first record of the four living creatures is found in the Ezekiel chapter 1, and Ezekiel says he saw them by the river Chebar. Ezekiel chapter 1, 5 says, and within it there were figures of a resembling four living things. He saw them in his house for the second time, and his record find Ezekiel chapter 10. In Ezekiel chapter 10, 20, he says, these are living beings that I saw beneath the God of the Israel by the river Chebar, so I knew that they were cherubim. This means that the four living creatures also belong to the cherubim. As he saw them for the second time, he says that they are the four living creatures that he saw by the river Chebar last time. He confirms that the four living creatures are not angels but cherubim. The four living creatures are the leader of the cherubim, and they are under the direct supervision of God of Trinity. Therefore, they normally stay close to the throne of God. The four living creatures are the heads of God's cherubims and play the role of the overall commands of the cherubim. When natural disasters such as typhoons, earthquakes, or volcanic eruptions occur in this world, many cherubim under these four living creatures move. Revelation chapter 4, 6 says, before the throne of the sea of a glass like a crystal, and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes before the altar. Eyes before and after. Their front and the back are full of eyes. In some part of the Bible, they are called as a cherubim, but if cherubims are in the close to God, chances are that may refer to the four living creatures. For instance, Psalm chapter 81 says, oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel, the who does lead Joseph like a flock, those who are enthroned above the cherubim shine forth. The cherubim in this verse refers to the four living creatures. The four living creatures encircle the throne of God and guard it, and they receive the orders from God directly and carry them out. Therefore, they have tremendous authority and power. They also have many cherubim under their command, and they control them. I said earlier, that is the cherubim that guard the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. These cherubim are also under the command of the four living creatures. The position of the four creatures is compared to that of the head of the presidential security service or a king's top security leader. This brew was in charge of the investigating and the questioning of the felon under the direct order of king. For example, the criminal that committed the grave sin of a rebellion against the king was taken care of by this brew. So the authority of a king's guard was much more powerful than the police. This is because it deals with the crimes against the country. They receive the king's orders directly. And if you are judged to be guilty and were taken to this department, and the torture is much more painful. During the royal era, they would break the bones of criminals, press large rocks on their knees, or burn their flesh with a fire. Including more severe various torture method. If you did not confess as they wanted, they eventually tortured you by cutting off your limbs, stretched out, bounded by four cows or four horses. When a slave betrayed and harmed his master, he was put to trial by a town court. However, if someone stood against the king, he was questioned by this brew. Likewise, when someone commits a sin that has directly something to do with God, the four living creatures work at the order of God. Blaspheming and speaking against the Holy Spirit are such a grave sins. Blaspheming and speaking against the Holy Spirit are sin that directly interfere with God. It's because the Holy Spirit is God Himself. When someone commits a sin that stands against God directly, the four living creatures take care of the sin. I will tell you more about the appearances and the duties of the four living creatures in the next lecture. In addition to the dragons and the four living creatures, the Bible records other cherubims. Ezekiel chapter 41, 18 to 19 mentions about the cherubim that have two faces. It says, and it was carved with a cherubim and the palm trees. And the palm trees was between the cherub and the cherub. And every cherub had two faces. The man's face toward the palm tree on one side, and the young lion's face toward the palm tree on the other side. They were curved on all the house all around. The four living creatures have four faces, but the cherubim in this verse have two faces. In addition, Isaiah chapter 6:2 mentioned about the seraphim, and that they are also another kind of a cherubim. Likewise, there are many different kinds of a cherubim, and the four living creatures are the leading cherubim among them, serving God directly. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, the spiritual world is immeasurably deep and wide, and the spiritual beings that are mentioned in the Bible have something to do with the human cultivation. We've taken a brief look into the spiritual realm by collecting the small pieces of information about them in the Bible by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Since the spiritual world is located in a higher dimension than that of this world, it becomes a spiritual strength to you when you know it more and more. Furthermore, the more your heart becomes spiritual, the more you can have a spiritual authority on this earth. Just as the darkness goes away as the light shines, as we fully achieve our spiritual mind, difficulties in our life, such as poverty and the disease, disappear. Therefore, I hope you will long for the spiritual all the more, and that you will come into the Spirit. As a citizen of a heaven which the spiritual world, not of this world, may everything go well with you, and may blessing of prosperity. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.